Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Colin Wolford. Before I bring him on, I do want to remind you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on Odyssey, and we're always available on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin, where you get all our premium content, you can get all our regular shows, and all the premium content from all the amazing content creators on Rockfin. Also want to tell you about how you can protect yourself from harmful EMF radiation with EMF Harmonized. They offer protection from harmful electromagnetic frequencies for your phone, computer, or tablets, and even your routers. I have one on all my devices. It's just a little disc that goes directly on there, and I've noticed a major difference. I don't feel as groggy. I sleep better, and I have way more energy during the day. You can also get their awesome bracelets. And the products were created by a mechanical engineer with 3 decades of experience in EMFs and telecommunication. Just use the link in the description to check out what they can do for you. Today I want to welcome Colin Wolford. He is a UFO researcher of some 30 years. He has a particular interest in UFO crash retrievals, aliens, and the crop circle phenomenon. He has given lectures on the connections through art, films, and music and the UFO subject, as well as the alien autopsy conspiracy. Colin, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hi, Chris. Yes, great to be here. Great to be here once again. Thank you for having me on.
Of course, yeah, welcome. I love having conversations with you. You were a presenter at last year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference, and you're going to be a presenter this year, hopefully, if you can make it out there without the, you know, having to deal with all the crazy COVID restrictions. But we got to hang out a bit last year. It was a great time. I'm really looking forward to this year. And if you make it, you're going to be giving another great presentation, which we're going to touch on a little bit today. I don't want to give away too much. But we're going to talk about basically how Star Wars and our media and movies, it relates to the UFO phenomenon in reality and what we're seeing today. And it can also relate to what we're seeing coming out in mainstream disclosure or disinformation, however you really want to look at it. You know, I'd never really trust anything coming from our own government or media, but I do find it fascinating what's happening right now. This is your first time on the show for a full interview, for a full session here. What really got you started and interested in the UFO phenomenon in general?
I guess it was back in pretty much after I left school. And sorry, Chris, just for me to buy in, but did you want me to have video? Because I can put video on, but I don't know if you want to prefer the audio.
Sure, sorry. Yeah, you can put your video.
Sorry, I wasn't quite sure whether I thought I started that. So there you go. There you go. You can see me now. There you go.
Now we see you.
Sorry, Gaia. There you go. So, I guess at school I started to become interested, listen to some radio shows back. I mean, we're talking about the late 80s here. That's the sort of time reference for when I was last at school. So when I left school, I got a job working for an airline, but I think I had an early interest for the UFO subject as far back as seeing the 1983 newspaper with, there was a story about the Rendlesham Forest incident, and there's a big newspaper here called the News of the World, and actually it was on the front page of that newspaper back in 83. So being, you know, just like 10 or whatever then, and I remember asking my mum about it, saying, you know, I thought, you know, it's just, but there was something about it that sort of really gripped me back then. But obviously there may have been other things, you know, going on. I'm open to the idea that you can have other experiences and you might not remember them. But I always, you know, perked up when I heard about the subject come up. And around that time, I was listening to people like, in that period, it would have been Timothy Goode and his books about the Above Top Secret. And I guess he was the main one. But then not long after that, then you had all the Bob Lazar stuff kicking off, early 90s, and all the other controversies. But those were the early years. And I kind of subscribed to some of the big magazines here in England. I guess the main ones would be Flying Saucer Review, and the other one was the one that was run by the Birdsall brothers, Graham Birdsall, sadly no longer with us. They did a magazine called UFO Magazine. I think it was originally maybe you could only order it and get it through, but then it became, I think, you could actually buy it in the newsagents. And Yeah, I've been a big subscriber to that for a long time, and just pretty much following the subject, buying loads of books like those ones behind me there. And yeah, that's how it all started, really, and just trying to work out what's going on and how's it all fit in with, you know, my experience of life, because that's all you can go by. You can only see the world through your eyes, generally speaking, and make sense of it yourself. And obviously everyone's got a different opinion about what's happening, and you know, we don't all agree about things, but I guess one of my things that was most, that seemed to sort of form over the next 10 years would be things like art, music, the creative things, and its connection to the subject. That's really what really started developing for me around that time. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, speaking of media and art and music, movies and films and TV shows have really shaped our view of the whole ET UFO phenomenon, you know, since they started portraying them, you know, back in the 40s and 50s, you know, with the spacemen and, you know, the big helmets and outer limits and things like that. But it eventually turned into this kind of portraying them as a threat. You know, that's what most of the big blockbuster movies and TV shows have shown, is that, you know, we're going to be invaded by this alien species and we have to watch out because they're this threat.
Yeah.
What do you think is, do you think that this is an intentional kind of culture creation to kind of get us looking in that direction, like that these things are a threat?
Yeah, I think that there was, you know, there was a lot of, I mean, obviously that was a big, you know, in the 50s and that, I mean, they sort of horror flicks where you could bring your girlfriend or partner or whatever, and, you know, you'd scream and watch, you know, like, that was it, it, and all these sort of, you know, like real sort of schlock horror type alien sort of invasion things, like the Body Snatchers. And, you know, but that's not to say that there was also, you know, some very positive one, you know, obviously the most obvious being the Day the Earth Stood Still, which is probably one of my favorite films just for its message. And I guess it was tying in with the whole Space Brothers type, you know, thing that Adamski and that was saying, and sort of like a warning as well. And you had the technology, you had Ray Harryhausen's superb special effects, and you know, Earth versus the Flying Thought Sources, I watched just recently, and I'm not sure if I'd actually seen that one before, but that's another very good one in its own way, which I think may have had some higher truths. Whether that was, you know, them, I would be surprised if there was some sort of military connection to some of those films, but because they weren't totally, you know, they weren't fearful, I think they were more sort of spiritual, dare I say it, in a way that sort of opened up the question, rather than having, you know, a huge big spaceships like Independence Day just coming and, you know, literally blowing up the White House and things like that, which is, you know, I always kind of feel like there's so many of these horror films which are quite, not horror, sorry, but sci-fi films that are like invasion type films where you get basically, I mean, even things like Predator and, you know, all these films over the years. I mean, obviously there's been the positive ones. I mean, again, the most obvious being Close Encounters and E.T., I suppose, if you're going to, I mean, those are, you would say, again, very spiritual, very positive. And, you know, I think that's done a lot to actually, if those films had never been shown, then, you know, we might be living, you know, it, things might not be the way they are. So it's, it goes back to the whole art thing and how you can use art for positive. And I generally feel if you're really in touch with your creative side, when you will express, you know, the creation, the positive things, and it wouldn't, you don't really would be creating sort of dark things where people are getting killed and blown to pieces. That's that's not how I see life and the meaning of life for me. So yeah, those are some of my favorites anyway.
Yeah, that's really cool. And when you look at a lot of films that have come out in the past couple of decades, they seem to have predicted even some future events. A lot of things that are happening now seem to have been portrayed in previous movies, you know, pandemic movies, zombie horror movies, all kinds of things, even alien movies, with some of the things that's happening right now. I tend to look at it like there could be a few things happening here with these writers and directors and producers. Maybe they're tapping into something. Maybe they're even getting messages from higher intelligences. Maybe they're getting messages from the CIA about what to write and, you know, implant these messages into society. Or they could just be really, really creative. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I do, you know, there's this subject of people getting downloads where, you know, I'm not just limiting this to films, but also to books and music, of course, because a lot of lyrics and ideas for books, such as, you know, J.K. Rowling, for example, look at, you know, J.R. Tolkien and The Lord of the Rings. I would say that these things are not, you know, I don't see these. I see these as great works of art. There's love involved. There's a, you know, these things. Yeah, and George Lucas, of course. I mean, that's the whole point of my talk. And Gene Roddenberry, these sort of people who seem to have a higher connection to whether themselves have had. You know, I don't rule out the possibility that these people have had connections with ETs even. Are actually basically getting downloads, channeling, I guess, for some. I mean, channeling isn't always just this, you know, contacting extraterrestrials or, you know, the spirit world. It can be very much that you're downloading information for the greater good, you know, through music and art and expressing metaphors in music. I think it's very interesting, something I've talked about before, and how things are very much coded with what's going in today with a number of science fiction shows. I mean, just like one of my favorite ones that I talk about quite a bit, because I was really, you know, amazed by it, was when I sat through the whole series of Babylon 5, which, but, you know, there's so many of these shows that they have deeper, if you study the UFO subject, then you will sort of pick up and things and see that, well, that sounds kind of a bit like, you know, there's like a comparison with what we come to terms with and, you know, debated about in the UFO subject. So yeah, it's very interesting, but that's not also to rule out, obviously, that some hidden agendas are seeded into films, product placement stuff. And I think the military, I think they were helped out on Independence Day, possibly things like Starship Troopers and all these, you know, there's so many, you know, so many films and that. And I guess I always, when I go to cinema, because, you know, I was, you know, still am a member and would use it often to catch and watch all these films. And I'd always kind of leave thinking, well, what was it that film was trying to say, you know, from the higher level? Was it just a throwaway popcorn movie where you just sort of switched off and you just wanted to see, you know, the White House destroyed or whatever? Or was there something else that actually made you think about it when you came out, and did it alter your opinion? Or at least make you think that maybe if they were aliens, or, you know, not, it doesn't necessarily have to be about aliens. It could be just any sort of story that makes you think about things more in a bigger level, that there's a bigger picture to life and that everything has meaning. And that's what I found in a lot of books, films, and music, actually.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. And it just makes me look at some of the movies a lot, well, everything I watch now, a lot closer, for, you know, different messages that could be implanted there for some sort of culture creation. So I always pay attention to things like that. Now, I do want to talk about, of course, Star Wars, which is going to be a major part of your presentation. What are some of the major messages, do you think, that Star Wars is trying to give us? Possibly, let's start with the alien agenda.
Yeah, well, we just should say that yesterday was actually the 44th anniversary of Star Wars New Hope coming out. So, I mean, it's quite, I know originally, but I thought we'd scheduled this for yesterday. I thought that was an interesting synchronicity, but then you said, oh, it was for today. But that's interesting, though, because yesterday was the 44th anniversary, and it was, right, you know, it's celebrated, at least on the internet, and I think a few papers were covering that as well. But yeah, what is it? I mean, you have to remember that it was something that never really had come across. I mean, we had 2001, I guess. That was a big film in the late 60s, you know, before the moon landings. And obviously you had the moon landings, and then you had Planet of the Apes type films like that. But then, you know, like the first, I would say this was like the big, it was a big, what they call it, a space opera now, I guess. And obviously it was created by George Lucas and that. But yeah, it was bringing across the idea of that, albeit, you know, well, clearly it wasn't set on Earth, as, you know, as such. But it was a space fantasy set in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But obviously it involved, you know, humans mingling with extraterrestrials. There was a battle going on between, you know, good and evil. So there was definitely, you know, you can see that. I mean, I know it's got its own religion. I mean, people have started their own religion about, I mean, and it's, and what I go to in my talk is actually I do delve actually into a lot of the biblical. There's a lot of higher truths, I say, not just in Christianity, but even might surprise people, but in the Islamic region, religion, that is. But yeah, no, there's all sorts of, one of the other characters I talk about, are these beings, if you know, and you have to be a bit of an anorak, I guess. So I realize that not everyone's going to have seen Star Wars, as strange as that may sound, or at least the original trilogy, although that is seen as one of the main trilogy. And you know, there's a lot of people who hate very much the prequels and of course the sequels. But yeah, you had some fascinating characters. I mean, one of the ones I do draw attention to is the Mon Calamari, which are involved in this liberation of the planet. I say the rebel forces at the end of the Return of the Jedi, which again is a deeply coded film. But these aquatic type beings led by Admiral Akbar. It's very interesting. There's definitely lots deeper stuff going on there. If you've been following the UFO subject, and I do bring up some of these star nations that, such as the Sirius Star Nation, which, you know, if you're familiar with Zachariah Sitchin, he, you know, he's written a book which literally came out a year before, I believe, when Star Wars came out. I think it was 1976, which was the, I think it's the 12th planet, I believe. I have to look at my notes. But yeah, this whole idea that we were seeded here by the Anunnaki. And, you know, again, I go into this deep in the talk where I bring up the, you know, might seem like an obvious thing, or maybe not, because there's a lot of coded stuff in the film where we refer to the, you know, the main protagonist, Darth Vader, and that connection with, you know, the name, the Anakin Skywalker, and the idea that these beings walk among at least the sky or the stars. It's very interesting. And the more you look into it, you see lots of metaphors and deeper symbolism. And the more you pick apart, the more I looked at it, and I found some quite profound things in there that were relevant to not just the times we're living in now, but the past, including controversial biblical things, and also other religious matters, I should say, but also the future and what's possibly happening now above this planet, and things like Space Force collaborations. I do feel like there is a connection with the UFO subject. It's without a doubt, and I'm going to be revealing a lot more about this, hopefully, if I can get there in Laughlin on June the 8th.
Yeah, hopefully so. And one of the things, when I look back at Star Wars, you know, it was one of my favorite movies growing up. It's basically the ultimate hero's journey depiction for me. You know, Luke, he goes, he starts out and he doesn't have any training. He starts his training, goes on this massive journey, quest good over evil. You know, he gets defeated halfway through, goes through these trials and tribulations, and comes out as, you know, this awesome Jedi at the end, which is basically your you know, classic story of a hero's journey, which I always look back at, and that's, you know, that's the one movie that makes me think about that.
Absolutely. I mean, the whole, you know, there's that scene, and I do have this slide where he's looking up at that binary sunset, at the, you know, when he's on Tatooine, and it's such one of the most amazing spiritual moments I think I've ever seen in the cinema, because everyone who's ever looked up at the sky, whether they've seen two suns, you know, maybe not, but you know, that sort of thing where you're young, you're just growing up, and you want to know your place in the universe. It's very powerful spiritually. It's, you know, it's your role in the whole scheme of things. And you know, there's also the idea, of course, that he's an orphan, or at least, you know, his mother's, he doesn't know what's happened to his dad, which is later revealed, you know, to be that dark character, which I, you know, bring in later, and its relevance to today. But yeah, it's the idea that humanity itself doesn't really know its place in the universe, because we're told that, you know, we descended we came from apes, basically, or we evolved from apes, whatever. But you know, I would say take issue of that, having, you know, studied the UFO subject, and the idea that there has been intervention by a whole galaxy of different star nations and groups, and not all good, and but not all bad either. So yeah, it's fascinating that you can put such big concepts across in very simple things. And it kind of reminds me, and there's a lot of Egyptian stuff in the films as well, like, you know, you probably heard about the story, like the dung beetle in Egyptian mythology is, you know, reference to like the rolling of the, is it the sun over the sky or whatever. And so these ideas got me into the symbolism of how things that are small can be represented as huge things. And it sort of followed me into other research with music, where metaphors and things can have their be represented with quite big concepts. And actually what might seem as something very simple and like a throwaway film actually has core deep realities to it that hopefully will wake people up at the right time.
Another thing I remember thinking about Star Wars is just the way that you look around the movie and, you know, hanging out with aliens and different species was a normal thing. It was just normal. Yeah. And everyone knew that there were different species of aliens, whether they were good or bad. It was just a common thing. And, you know, that makes me think about some of the stuff that's going on today, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about this before. I mean, it's kind of, there's a lot of people who have had sort of encounters of extraterrestrials. I mean, people, I mean, one of my favorite subjects is crash retrievals. I, you know, talked about the claims about things like the alien autopsy. I mean, from a lot of people, if you're seeing these beings, it can be very, you know, it's a frightening thing, because it's not something you've, for one, you're not told that it's actually a reality. And two, when it is in your reality, then you could almost have like a breakdown or go into, you know, complete state of denial. But that's not also to say that in some of these big bases around the world that there is some sort of collaboration. I wouldn't be surprised if there's collaboration with the Space Force. I don't see how they cannot be. That might sound like a shocking thing to say, but I think there is some divine plan unfolding at this time. I think there is people working with ETs, and maybe for them it's just as ordinary as going to see someone, you know, at work, and, you know, having a drink by the cooler or whatever, and for them it's totally normal. I mean, for us, you know, it's not, and we're sort of taught to be, we'll be scared of things that are different from ourselves. But yeah, I think stuff's have been going on for a long time. It's not, you're saying, not a normal thing, but I think the higher up you go, the more brought into the information you are, the more possibly you're interacting with either these beings or different realities. It's a bit of a mind bender, but I've no doubt that people are interacting with ETs on some level at this time on this planet.
Now, you mentioned that there are some symbolism, some biblical symbolism, and, you know, even some Islamic symbolism, yeah. Religious symbolism. Could you give us a couple of examples? You know, I don't want to give away too much for your
presentation. No, not at all. I mean, I have to say that if people want to know a bit more about this, I mean, I'm not a religious scholar, so let me just say that straight off. Okay, but there was an interesting... when I was studying UFO subject back in the early 90s, there was a very interesting UFO document called The Dome Away, and it's spelled D-O-M-A, Way, and that's the Daughters of Mary. People might want to look that up. You can find a whole, it'll take you a few days to get through that, but it basically talks about the ET, various groups of ETs visiting this planet, such as Orion group, Pleiadian, Sirian group. And there's a whole bunch of very intriguing ET related connections to our religions. And it's actually, I would say, it's one of the most profound things I've ever read. I don't think not many people know about it, and I only really touch about on it briefly in this talk, other than that it did actually lead me getting to some very interesting information. But yes, going back to I suppose one of the most interesting one is the Admiral Akbar character. You know, the word Akbar, you may have heard, you know, in these terrorist things where, you know, Allahu Akbar, you know, that is, God is great. And, you know, well, usually that's been implied in the, you know, like a terrorist, someone will shout that out, they're about to chuck, you know, a bomb or, you know, like suicide, you know, but they have their suicide vessel. But when you look into Islam, I'm not an scholar of any of these. I sort of like to sort of keep an open mind and be open to the possibilities. But there is that sort of godlike star being connection. And you have to remember that these beings, the Mon Calamari, which again, we go back to the aquatic type beings, that, you know, are in the spacecraft above in the final battle, which I refer to, you know, they are what I would say are related, possibly not necessarily. I mean, there's been books about the Nomo from Robert Temple and the likes like that. So there is that, I believe, something to do maybe with the Syrian connection there. I'd also say the other characters, there's lots of biblical stuff. Looking further into the name Han Solo, there's definitely a connection with Solomon. I've been looking into that. You've got the whole Knights Templar thing, and also the Jedi Knights. We could go into that avenue as well. There's a connection with the name Mon, which you'll see quite a lot if you've studied the Mon Talk project, and this book by Peter Moon, he talks about the relevance of the word Mon, and you will actually see this in Return of the Jedi for quite a few of the characters, which again has deeper symbolism there. I could go on about, you know, the David bloodline, which I believe is reflected by Han Solo in the film, believe it or not, and certain scenes I believe that are such as the carbon freeze where Han is put into carbonite is a reflection or portrayal of the crucifixion, no less. So there's a lots of deeper stuff in there, and quite controversial things I kind of have been saying for a few for a little while, although I've never really given this talk too many times. But yeah, there's just a few of the examples. There's some other stuff as well I'll be going into.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about the connection with the Knights Templar and the Jedi Knights. I think that's super fascinating.
Well, I mean, it's just an obvious one would be to say when you're looking at the Jed, you know, there's the whole Jed thing as well. We've got the Jed Pillar, which is a big thing in Egypt, the backbone of Osiris, I think. And so again, you get a lot of wordplay. You have to sort of deconstruct and construct certain words, letters, remove letters, but there's enough of the sound which is very similar. But the Jedi Knights are seen as if you go, the obvious other connection of course would be the Knights of the Round Table, and you've got the King Arthur connection there. So these are seen as the noble knights, and of course that's one of the main stories of Star Wars, that, you know, the old Republic, and you've got the Jedi Knights, and they were sort of upholding before the dark times, you know, before the Empire began there tyranny, which is kind of like the world we live in now, you see. So I hope there's a few Jedi Knights out there. But yeah, and the Knights Templar is very, again, very interesting. They were supposedly went to, you know, the Temple Mount, I believe, in Jerusalem, and, you know, they were involved in maybe retrieving artifacts from there, but brought to France. And some people say it had connections possibly to do with, if not the Ark of the Covenant, and obviously you've got possibly information on Jesus, and if you go even further than that, then maybe, you know, the Jesus bloodline, if you want to go there, and the child of Jesus and Mary. There's, I think, so much you can say on these subjects because it all kind of links together, but it's absolutely fascinating. And yeah, I've got my own lightsaber here, so maybe I'm one of these returning Jedi Knights.
Yeah.
But Maybe I can see if I can get that on the plane or something. But no, it's very interesting. And I like to think that we are in this sort of tyrannical battle as we speak. So let's hope
Well, I can definitely see the connections with the evil empire and, you know, our evil overlords right now that are imposing all of these draconian measures on us right now. So that's a huge, you know, parallel. And it's something that, you know, most people probably didn't take a second look at pre-2020 or a few years ago. You know, people like us did. We would make the connections a long time ago. But a lot more people now... I think can give it a second look and be like, ah, okay, I see where that's going.
Yeah, well, people usually do it for things that they recognize that in the frame of reference, that people would refer to it maybe as Nazi Germany, and they would say, you know, like, this is Adolf Hitler or the stormtroopers or the German stormtroopers and that. And they, you know, that's all they have as their frame of reference. But really, you know, I see, you know, I even see us, I sort of, in the analogy of like, we are the Ewoks, you know, and on Endor at the end, we are those sort of primitive ones up against the New World Order with their advanced technologies and, you know, advanced weapons, mind control, God knows what else. But, you know, as we see in that film, that's quite, it reaches a happy conclusion where they unite basically and come together with the help of the other rebel forces, some of them off planet, and defeat the evil empire. And it's quite a happy ending. So, yeah, maybe that's something we can aim to aspire to in the future.
I would definitely hope that there's going to be a happy ending to this. Now, something you mentioned earlier, you mentioned Star Trek earlier and Gene Roddenberry, and I know he had very high-level ties, CIA and government ties. Now, I was never really that big of a Star Trek fan. I was more into Star Wars. I'd watch it every once in a while because my dad would watch it. He was hardcore into Star Trek. But are there any – I don't know if you've done many research into the connections there, but did you see any connections or parallels with Star Trek and what's going on now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I said to in the trailer for this for the conference, but I was you know, I was reading a lot of these channeled type books back in the day, like The Annie Planet of Choice, and I think Gene Roddenberry sat in on a lot of these sessions. That was a group of like psychic, I guess, medium types claiming that they contact the Nine, basically. And of course, if you know your Star Trek, you've got the Deep Space Nine. There's a lot of symbology. The whole Star Trek idea of people from all countries on the Earth. You know, you've got the Russians, and other nationalities, Chinese, you know, different colours. It was a very positive role model for what I think is probably happening now amongst the stars. Even I think that there's probably in these, you know, space force, as we call it, these fleets, and there's been a lot of these stories that there has been a lot of interaction with, you know, the Russians and Americans, and a lot of this Cold War thing was just like one level. It was just, you know, but on the higher levels we were actually working together. But yeah, going back to Star Trek, yeah, there's so much there. Whether I think Gene Roddenberry again was another visionary like George Lucas, and I've been watching the Enterprise series, and I found that, I mean, I'm not a massive Star Trek fan. I've watched all the films and enjoyed. I think my favourites are First Contact. I think there's a lot of stuff into the First Contact film which I could maybe talk about, which I found some things in there was very interesting and relevant for, I believe, we're heading for a First Contact. Voyage Home, I think, has got deeper stuff in it regards to the whales and that whole part of that story on that film. But what I've been enjoying and catching up on was when I found out about the Star Trek Enterprise. I think it's the third series where they bring in these five, I think it's five alien races, and are very much like, one's a reptilian, one's an insectoid, you know, so you, if you follow the ufology, you don't have to be, you know, that's just, you know, and that's very interesting. If you look at those characters and their interactions with the human race, albeit, you know, this Star Trek Enterprise, just for people who don't understand, Star Trek Enterprise is actually set before the actual old 60s TV show with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy, which I didn't realize at first, but when I found out that's actually leading up from, you know, the idea of the warp drive by Zecron Cochrane, where they make first contact with the Vulcans, and that's when they start leaving the planet, so to speak. But yeah, there's so much in there, and I'm looking forward to actually watching the end of that. I'm on the fourth season now. So much you could say again. Gene Roddenberry, a visionary, and, you know, the prime directive. People always say that in ufology about, you know, we don't interfere. You know, people say, well, why can't we see these UFOs and aliens? And, oh, I mean, people are seeing them, but why are they not landing on the White House lawn and all this stuff? But, you know, there is this sort of a prime directive, I definitely think, like, where they let things run their course. Everyone has free will. And it's like the planet, any planet of choice. This is a choice. Everyone has choices to make and decisions to do things, and they won't interfere unless, you know, there was some sort of nuclear conflict, which obviously you see again with nuclear devices being shut down, which might be a clue for people that there are benign beings out there looking out for us.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And I got a comment in the chat, and I've heard this before, you know, unable to verify, of course. Mary Kay writes, Gene got his intel through a channeler. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, that was it. I mean, that was Felice Schlemmer in the book, The Only Planet of Choice. I believe he sat in on some of these like closed sessions where they would have a number of people in the room. And I think Puharich, was it, the famous psychic? You know, like Yuri Geller and these lot were involved. There's a whole book. I recommend people check out Felice Schlemmer's book, The Only Planet of Choice, where it's like deep information about these nine hold everything in balance in the universe, or, you know, it's sort of disembodied beings as such. But I guess this goes back to Egyptian. I believe they have this connection to the nine as well, and you will hear things, you know, obviously like deep space nines, you know. So there's definitely something more to the idea, and, you know, nine's quite a sacred number. Once you go from nine, it's, you know, back down to it's 10, and there's definitely stuff like that. And so whether Gene got all that information from sitting on some of his sessions, he may have done, but I also believe that he was a visionary and he was getting ideas in his, you know, probably sleep. And whether that was downloads, a lot of people get downloads, that was something that he was able to manifest. And, you know, where would we be now without things like Star Trek and Star Wars? People would be, you know, a lot more sadder, I know that for a fact. Even if they're not into UFOs, you obviously don't have to be into UFOs. But, I, you know, for me, there's an interesting parallel connection there. And maybe more of those people come on board once, you know, if there is a disclosure. And I think a lot of Star Trek, Star Wars fans, various science fiction shows will have their own say on it and will be more receptive to information coming out.
Yeah, definitely. And if anyone does have any questions for Colin, please feel free to leave those in the chat. We will get to those as soon as possible. You mentioned that there's some interesting from the aspects of first contact that you found. Could you maybe share a few
of
those?
You know what? You mean in regards to the film? Do you mean or yes, just, or the concept?
The film. Yeah.
Well, can I say that? I don't know. There's some things it would mean I'd have to go into a big non-story, but so maybe I'll save it for another one. But all I would say is that I'm very much interested in the whole idea of first contact. I used to follow Sheldon Neidel, who was one of these galactic, he was contacted by the Galactic, what would be called the Galactic Federation, and as a young child. And I followed a lot of his work during the 1990s, and I found it very profound. I did read his books. He did a book called First Contact, I believe, Your First Contact or something. You can probably look that up. But I was kind of aware of the idea that we were all scheduled for some sort of first contact event. And there was a very particular interesting synchronicity in that film I won't reveal at this moment in time, but it meant something to me without going into the story. But there's definitely a reality to a first contact, whether that's on a global level or certain people. I think it's there for everyone. Everyone can make first contact. But and I think we've already had contact, to be fair. You know, I do go along with the idea. You know, I've been, you know, following the crash retrieval stuff over the years, and that there have been agreements with, I was saying, very sort of service to self, nefarious ET groups, some of the grey possible reptilian groups aren't with our best interests at heart. I'm a bit... So in that way, you could argue that contacts happen, but this will be a non-secret one. This one will be open and will involve lots of these different star nations, which you hear about, like Pleiadians, Sirians, Andromedans, Arcturians, so on and so forth, and the connection there. So Yeah, I think that's where we're heading, really. I really do. I just don't see how it cannot head in that direction. And I think there'll be things revealed in, you know, even the next 10 years. I think the next 10 years is very important with what's happening, you know, even if everything is whether it is disinformation, what's happening at the moment with, you know, the UFO buzz that's going around the world with, you know, more info coming out, we shall see. But there's definitely something happening and we're on the verge of something. But we should also be wary of deception and possible, you know, future false flag events. You know, the evil alien thing is an obvious one. But yeah, that's not to say, you know, look in the crop circles. I'm a big crop circle interest as well. So I always think there's a lot to that. And that seems like, for me, people say, well, why would they do that sort of thing? But I just feel like, again, that goes back to the art and the higher intelligence and download, decoding stuff. And it pulls in the right people who are ready for it, and let everyone else scoff if they don't think there's nothing to it. That's up to them. I'm happy to say that there's definitely something to all these things.
Yeah, I would have to definitely agree with that. Now, while we're talking about movies and films that kind of portray what could possibly be going on here on the Earth and above us, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's a movie that kind of slipped through the cracks. It wasn't that great. It had a great concept, a great plot, but I think it wasn't done like it should have been. Jupiter Ascending. Have you ever seen this movie?
I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
You knew I was going to, okay. Yeah.
I might have had that conversation before, but I actually saw that like 3 times in the cinema because I had like a free pass, and I appreciated it because I knew it was like the Wachowskis who'd done The Matrix.
Right.
And was it Cloud Atlas? They do. That was another good one about, you know, that's a whole other thing. But, you know, yeah, brilliant. I you know, it wasn't maybe the best film, but it encoded a lot of, you know, like the reptilian aspects. You know, you had crop circles in that, I remember. And yeah, maybe I should check that out again, but definitely.
Yeah, it even had the little grey aliens that they were using to abduct people and stuff.
Yeah, these sort of things, you know, you see it like in Stargate as well. You know, I remember the Asgard, and I've not seen all the Stargates. I mean, I don't have time to watch all these shows. I just catch bits of them over the years, you know. But yeah, again, there's so much. There's some really good stuff in there, and they've put some really big concepts across in a way which makes you think, wow, they're definitely tapping into something there, or they have a connection with possibly something.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching just because of the concepts they put in there. You know, basically the Anunnaki, you know, harvesting humans for whatever kind of nutrients they're using, and they're partnered with reptilians, and the reptilians are using the greys to abduct humans. So it's very interesting. But, you know, like you said, may not have been the best movie, but it was it's a very interesting concept. Now, I'd like to know, what do you think about some of the other aspects we're seeing in modern film and TV, like the occult normalization, witchcraft normalization, things like this? I've noticed a lot, especially on Netflix movies and things coming out, even musical artists, you know, trying to kind of normalize occult symbolism and things like this. Do you think that there is a kind of agenda going on there?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I must admit, I don't have TV. So many people say Netflix, and I don't actually have any of these things. Like, it's kind of weird. People are like shocked. But I mean, I do go to the cinema, though, you know, when cinemas were still open. Well, actually, I think they've reopened now here. But yeah, it's always been the way, hasn't it? There's always been sort of music aspects, occult stuff, some dark. I can talk about some very positive. You know, for music, actually, for me, is one of the biggest things I feel like going on in connection with the UFO subject in a way. But yeah, films, TV shows, there is a sort of rising interest. I mean, I always had an interest in ghosts and things like the paranormal when I was a kid. I think it goes hand in hand. If you've got an interest in UFOs, you're interested in all these sort of scary sort of Halloween type things and kind of scaring yourself. I mean, it's kind of interesting. So there has been a rise in that. You also get the X-Files and shows and all these sort of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And I guess maybe things have got, I mean, I do occasionally catch my friends has all the channels, and like, you know, there is a, you know, channels dedicated to all these classic shows and the ones that are running now. But I guess there is some sort of awakening, it seems, but whether some of them are there to sort of put in negative images, you know, it's possible, you know, I don't deny it. There's some dark things going on, and music's certainly been anything where huge amounts of money are generated. That's where you'll find the dark ones trying to, literally, like parasites leeching off of it. And a lot of people over the music industry probably could tell you that although the music itself can be a pure form of expression and information, it's sadly surrounded like moths to the flame by these dark entities that, seem to harvest energy. Like you go to even to a sport game, they seem to, you hear stories about all this energy that's being harvested, and at concerts as well. So who knows, but it's definitely, if you're a youngster, I can understand it's difficult. People are growing up in a different world now, where all they've ever had is like the internet and mobile phones. We didn't have that. I don't know how old you are, Chris, but there was time up to the mid 90s.
Yeah, I was born in the 80s, early 80s. So, yeah.
All right. You might remember, it wasn't until like the mid 90s things started, getting internet and even mobile phones and stuff. So it's a different world. And I always like to, I kind of sometimes wonder how people view the world, if they're 16 now, and how they've, because people have been born after 9/11, for instance. They got a totally different worldview, and things that people might have sat through and experienced and have opinions on, they're never going to have that other than looking back on the internet and old TV shows and making the best of it. But it's quite fascinating when you think about people's different views of the world.
It is. And you said you noticed some connections with modern music and the UFO phenomenon and stuff.
It's another rabbit hole, really. It's such a, there's more to this stuff, which I know it's quite a very deep subject. But basically, in a nutshell, what I'd say is that I spent like most of the 90s listening to music. I had a job where I could actually listen to as many music stations. Every time I always wanted to hear a new song, every time I was quite strong on melodies, and I just love music, really. It's just a passion for me. I can't sing or play or anything like that. But that led to, sort of combined with the UFO subject, I started looking into, and I was also doing all this stuff with these metaphors and stuff. I did one of my first talks called Music, Metaphors and Movies, I believe it was. It was looking at just how things and words can have higher meaning. So I started seeing profound things in lyrics, where I'd buy, so many lyric sheets and really deciphering songs and what the higher meaning of the song was. And it actually blew my mind, actually. Maybe I'll be working on that as a future talk or so, but there's so much to talk about there, but I just don't have the words to say everything I can actually say about it. But what I would say is so many of these songs have got deeper meanings and higher truths, and a lot of them more to do with big subjects, like I was talking about earlier, like mankind, off-planet influence, and the relationship, the spiritual, where we're going, where we've been. It's very similar things, I found in films and that. So these concepts can be portrayed in songs. So it's another big rabbit hole if you like rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's also something interesting happening in Hollywood and the music industry from what I've heard. I don't really follow modern Hollywood or music industry that much at all, but I've heard that there are certain artists that claim to be channeling aliens now and speaking with aliens and being connected to this whole phenomenon. And I find it very strange, but it's all coming out at this same time with this mainstream disclosure. I don't know if you've heard anything about that, but I find it very interesting and strange.
I think a lot of them are quiet, a lot of them, I have followed all over the years, so many people. I mean, the obvious ones like David Bowie and Robbie Williams into his UFO stuff. But even like with the guy from Van Halen, didn't he come forward about experiences? I think
there's been even more recent pop stars. I don't know who they are because I don't follow them, but there's been a couple of them that said that they've been channeling or talking to or communicating with off-planet species, some of these new pop stars. And I just find it kind of interesting. I don't know what to trust or who to trust in any of this stuff, but I pay attention to it, and it's interesting.
It is. When you're involved with the arts, I think they are more open to that. Is it the left brain thing or whatever? But to them, I mean, like I say, music is a form of channeling. So I don't see a difference sometimes, like from reading, you know, I've read quite a few channeled information over the years. I've got beyond the point of just, you know, in being interested in, you know, UFO or something in the sky. I wanted to know what's going on and what they're saying, because, you know, they didn't seem to be speaking to us, but I think they may be speaking to us in different ways through songs and films and books, and that's how they would communicate in. And so that's very interesting. And yeah, so a lot of singers probably do have more likely connection to off-world people, beings, experiences. I think a lot of them are scared to speak out. Maybe not so much now. It's kind of maybe a cool thing, but I think a lot of people are very quiet about not only, you know, seeing things, but just their general opinions without alienating, dare I say, their fans, you know, because maybe the worlds are different now, especially with what's happened last year. People do seem to be at the end of something, and the beginning of something new. So maybe people will now be more open to sort of these far out sort of thoughts and ideas. And if music and films and books can do that, then, which I believe it is doing, then this is a very good thing. And I think when they start, you know, banning books, films and music, you know, as we almost seem to be in that stage, and sadly, I reckon within the next few years, then, you know, we'll that things have reached some sort of end point, I think, for this reality.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can turn that around somehow, this cancel culture and censoring of everything.
1984 and all that stuff.
Yeah,
know?
It's pretty bad.
It's coming. I mean, again, that was another great prophet, wasn't he? Like George Orwell and,
yes,
you know, Fahrenheit 451 is there, and all these books, you know, there was a reason for why these books get written. It's like a warning from the past, so we shouldn't ignore that.
It definitely seems to be that. Now, speaking of history repeating itself and possible warnings, we've seen UFO mania in the past, you know, mainly in the 40s and 50s. I don't know if this is a cyclical thing, the modern aspect of this disclosure that we're seeing. It seems a little bit bigger. It seems like they're kind of pushing it to a little bit further, this whole disclosure, because we're getting more information from the Pentagon than we've ever heard before, the mainstream media, our politicians, people in Congress. You know, it's something different than we've ever experienced when it comes to this UFO phenomenon. And I definitely don't trust it just because of the sources that it's coming from, but I'd pay attention to it because I think we need to. And supposedly we're going to have this big information dump in June. But like you said earlier, I think we have to be cautious of it because there could be some type of agenda behind it, maybe a false flag, something that could happen in the future. I know we talked a little bit about this for the Laughlin promo, but what do you think is going on? Why now all this push for mainstream disclosure?
I mean, generally there is a battle going on. We're at war, even if we can't see who's fighting each other, there is a war going on, and it's the war for our minds and our hearts, and there are forces at work. It may be happening on, you know, higher dimensions, or, you know, you can go quite deep into this stuff and you hear things like there's a battle that's already been won and what we're seeing now is just playing out in these lower dimensions. But yeah, I think there's a timeline. You know, I think they've been given a timeline by the positive ET groups, whoever you consider them to be. But they are working on the highest with the, you know, the top Russian, the top American, the Space Force. And there is some sort of plan in place. I think they may have been given an ultimatum, because what's happening now, it seems to be so much corruption. You know, we're talking about UFOs, you've got so much corruption being shown around the world and things being revealed and the potential of great truths being revealed and things that may shock people, from things like child trafficking. And you hear these stories and all sorts of satanic ritual abuse. You've got the idea of these other fallen Lucifer, his characters and Satanists, and, you know, got a whole big hodgepodge of information that potentially could be on, you know, the brink of being revealed. So I do believe there is a, you know, it's a classic Star Wars, good v evil. It's the same with, you know, all these great stories, you know, like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter's the same. So I feel like they have been given a timeline. I do believe that every government may have documents that they may reveal They've been that will be dropped at a certain point. But yeah, there is a and footage and crews obviously because they must have clear, crystal clear footage, clear, you know, like from gun cameras and all that sort of stuff. So they've got all the goods. They've got the crash craft. They've got the bodies, the autopsies. They've got all this, and they've had that. It's highly top secret, no doubt about that. But I just feel like there is stuff to come out, and it might be time encoded by, you know, so like 2022, maybe something's got to happen, 2023, even so maybe 2021, you know, there's something, you know, possibly coming out. But there's certainly always going to be the good and the bad guys fighting it out. So while one does one thing, then one, you know, someone could say something when it may be true. They might have a footage, say, like, you might have some old footage from the 50s of. And you could say, well, you know, this UFO destroyed this. You know, they could manipulate it for their own ends. You know, so you could see archive footage, and it may well be true, because I'm not saying that there aren't bad, you know, ETs. I mean, I think we've done some deals with them, you know, since the 50s, and you know, so I'm not saying that, but we should be very careful, because this will be a shock, and people who haven't done their homework might suddenly be jumping up and down and saying, this is a demon, this is that, this is this, and you know, stay indoors. It could be COVID Mark II, sadly, and you might be stuck in your house for another year or something, and because of a potential threat from the stars. You know, this is quite, you know, logical, really. It's not really a surprise. It's just a case of how much will be allowed to be, how much deception will be allowed out there. I mean, you know, you could say the same about this virus. People would say, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe this bit or that. I don't believe that. So, you know, sometimes you have to let all the bad stuff out and people make up their own minds and then sort of work it out for themselves. Because if you tell people, they're not going to necessarily accept it. And you have to do the homework and spend the hours and put time into it. But I do believe we're on a positive timeline. And I do think the next 10 years, I mean, even the next five years, you know, I heard about this. Even we suppose by the end of 2025, we're at the end of some Kali Yuga or something, you know. So there's lots of, you know, prophecies and stuff happening as well. So, yeah, I think we're in for a real roller coaster ride. So everyone should get their popcorn ready and watch the show, as they say, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting times. Now, there's some researchers that I've spoken to recently, like John Enoch, that believe that it's possible we're being guided by an off-planet intelligence light years away, that they basically are in control of our destiny and kind of guiding us. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's this whole father aspect, you know, sort of go back to the Dark Father. You could talk about Star Wars, and it wasn't a great role model, Darth Vader. But then I always, you know, I say that's the dark, those dark ones that were really, pretty much running the planet for this period of time for at least 12,000 odd years or so. So the whole idea that there is this other father aspect, if you like, but also is claims its connection to the human race, if you like, is very interesting. So yeah, I kind of go with Johnny with that one. There is these beings, and remember, a lot of people are, there's lots of star people who incarnate here and all that sort of stuff. So you've got all that to take on board, and the connections with that. We're not all, you know, everyone's a mix of genetics, hybrids, and God knows what. That's what I believe. So yeah, I think we are being guided. I think absolutely, and but it's done in a quite subtle way. And I, you know, going back to the arts, I think that's one of the ways they do it.
Yeah, that is super fascinating, and we are definitely living in interesting times. I'm going to keep paying close attention to a lot of this stuff coming out. I think that you have to, even though, you know, a lot of it may be misinformation or disinformation, we got to keep an eye on it. And Colin, I want to thank you for coming by today. I'm looking forward to seeing you again in Laughlin and hearing your amazing presentation. Now, for people that want to find out any more about any of the research that you've done, is there social media, website, stuff like that they can take a look at that?
Not really. I only have one group, and that's on Facebook, and that was called Alien Autopsy Analysis, which is it's mainly about looking at the different extraterrestrial connections, crash retrievals, but mainly, of course, the famous Ray Santilli alien autopsy footage. But I do post bits and pieces about there, and I probably will do something else in the future, but at the moment it's just that Facebook group, which is, you know, you can just join. You don't even have to join Alien Autopsy Analysis, where I look at the whole UFO, crash retrieval, the alien, but mainly, yeah, the Race Antilles controversy, which kicked off again yesterday. So that's the main place you can probably see me there, actually, if you want to hear more from me.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thanks again for coming by today. Like I said, I can't wait to see you in Laughlin, and I hope to see as many of you as possible there in Laughlin, too. That's coming up next week, the 6th through 12th. So check out, go to the website, LaughlinUFOBigConference.com. Get tickets for that right now. Colin, I hope talk to you soon. Hopefully you can make it out there without those stupid restrictions.
I hope so. All being well, I look forward to seeing you, Chris, and I'm really looking forward to it. Goddess willing, so let's hope so. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening.